If you have a Bible, if you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 5. Gospel according to John, chapter 5. Verse 22. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that have heard shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. The book of Revelation, chapter 5. Revelation, chapter 5, reading from verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. Chapter 8. The first verse. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. I don't know whether everyone here believes the Bible or not, but I want to tell you, dear friend, that the Bible is absolutely true. I remember visiting a man in hospital. I didn't know he was close to death. He was only about 24 hours from death. He'd never been to Sunday school. He'd never had prayers said over him by his mother. He'd never had a Bible. He'd never been to church. And I visited him at the hospital bedside. I had a Bible. And I asked him, did you know what I had in my hand? And he said, yes, he said, it's the Bible. I said, could you tell me how many lies there are in the Bible? He said, don't you talk like that. Don't you talk like that. I said, if there's no lies in the Bible, then is the Bible true? But he remained silent. I read a verse to him. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Of a man that's never heard the gospel, so he said, never been to church, never been to Sunday school, had never learned a prayer, and here he is, and he knows he's dying. What can you say to a man like that? But at least he admitted that the Bible was true. I want to tell you, dear friend, that it wasn't many minutes before he realized that the Bible was not only true, but that he was a sinner in need, and he needed a Savior. And I can remember just leaving the bedside and him gripping my hand and saying, God bless you, God bless you. I didn't know that the next day he was going to be called through death. You know, dear friends, that we can play with things and be occupied in the things of the world and put things off all through our lives without reckoning with God, without coming to the knowledge of Christ. And here was a man who had wasted the whole of his life. He said, I haven't got a friend in the world. I haven't got one relative that I know of in the whole world. He migrated from England down to New Zealand a few years before. He said, there's not a soul in it. But all to think that God in his mercy was able to touch a sin-hardened heart and bring him to the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. How thankful we can be that God in his mercy is waiting with arms outstretched to bless. And tonight as we come to this gospel meeting, dear friend, I want to tell you that not only does God know all about us, and he looks right down into our hearts, and he sees exactly where we are before him, but he's waiting with arms outstretched to bless. And he's able to do it on a righteous basis. Because his beloved Son, that holy spotless one, went down into the depths of death so that souls might be saved and brought into life. Or to think of the eyes of God looking down upon that scene at Calvary and seeing his beloved Son. There he was, being treated so despicably by the people. I wonder what God's thoughts were when he looked down upon that rabble of a crowd. Here they were, blindfolding the blessed Savior, spitting in his face, plucking the hair from off his cheeks, bowing down in mockery and worshipping him. And all this before the eye of God, the God with whom they had to do. Dear friend, do we realize that's the same God that looks down upon us tonight, and he's the God with whom we have to do. And he's provided the way of salvation. He's told us the way. He's provided the Savior, and he's pouring out his love and mercy toward us. And if souls are going to despise what God is offering freely in Jesus, are they going to spend eternity in hell? Those that refuse what God is offering. How solemn to think that that blessed one who died upon the middle cross at Calvary is the one that is able to bring before us words that we've read. He said, all judgment is committed unto the Son. This is why we have to do with Jesus, because all judgment is committed unto him. Is there anyone here that hasn't come to the Savior? Dear friend, tonight as you sit in that seat, can you honestly say before God that you know that your sins are forgiven, that you're right before God, that the Lord Jesus is your Savior? Can you say that without a shadow of a doubt? Because I want to say this, dear friend, if there's any doubt in your heart, if there's a shadow of unbelief, then you've got to get right before God and get right tonight. Here he says, all judgment is given unto the Son. He that heareth my words believeth on me that sent, and him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. It's not God's idea that every soul should be condemned. The devil was, the lake of fire was not prepared for man, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if there are those that are going on serving and following the devil, they're going to spend eternity in hell with the devil and his angels. Oh, what a solemn thought. To think of souls that have heard the gospel, and they know the way of salvation, and they wouldn't give in. They grow up, they put it off. You see, the children need to realize they've got to come to the Savior. You're not going to get through because your parents are Christians. You're not going to get through because your grandparents are Christians. You're not going to get there because you get all the prizes at Sunday school. Dear friend, the only way you're going to get to heaven is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you haven't come to know Him as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come to know Him tonight. So here the Lord Jesus goes on. He said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear, or those that have already heard, shall live. And this is true. You know, the Lord Jesus doesn't go around just making statements for us to take it or leave it. He makes a statement because what he's saying is absolutely true. And he says here, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And that's a day coming. The dead are going to hear the voice of the Son of God. And those that have heard his voice shall live. This is why it's essential, dear friend, that you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. God looking down upon the scene, given over to sin, given over to all that was opposed to him, and he sends his beloved Son into a scene of darkness, a scene of unbelief, a scene of hatred. And the Lord Jesus comes through the scene that he had created with his own hands. Just think of the pathway of the Lord Jesus and what he did. Here's a woman in John chapter 4, living in sin. And the Lord Jesus brings in conviction right to her heart. You know, the Lord just knows how to probe each one of us. He touches the very thing that brings in conviction. Oh, this woman at the well is quite happy to talk about religion with this man that's passing through. Or if we want to talk about religion, she'll have a little chat about that. If you want to talk about worship, well, she knows a little about worship. But what the Lord was offering was living waters. But before she could partake of that, the Lord touches her heart. And he says, go call your husband. He knew exactly the state of that woman. Go and call your husband. And she said, sir, I have no husband. He said, you're speaking the truth. You've come clean. You haven't got a husband. You've had five already, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Oh, she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. But the Lord goes on and brings her to the knowledge of himself. She says, I know when Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things. The Lord says, I am the Messiah. I that speak with thee am he. What does she do? She's been convicted. She realizes that the man that's talking to her there at the well is none other than the one that's the promise of Scripture, the promise of God. And she leaves a water pot and she goes into the city. Oh, what a cry! A woman evangelist, yes, converted to Christ. And she says, go. She goes into the city and said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I've done. Isn't this the Christ? All the conviction went in and they flocked out to hear him. Many came to salvation through what the woman said. But then it goes on in the chapter to say that some came along and says, it's not because of what you've said, but we've seen him ourselves. Oh, what a wonderful thing to come to the Lord Jesus yourself. And just be there with him. To speak with him. And to let him speak to our hearts. So that we might see that the light will shine in. And salvation will come. And the Lord takes us on. Another woman a little later on. She's taken in adultery. And there she is. She's convicted by those that bring her in. But they all had to go out, from the eldest to the youngest. And the Lord says, where are thine accusers? Doesn't anyone accuse you? She said, no one, sir. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see, as we go through the scriptures, we find that the Lord deals with one and another, and it's not always the same way. There are some things that have to be brought to light. There are some things that have to be condemned. There has to be instruction as to what to do. But we have to come to the Savior. Everyone, through the Gospels, that comes into blessing, comes to the Savior. That's why we sometimes sing, come to the Savior, make no delay. Or we don't want you to delay tonight. We want you to come to know this blessed person. The one who's able to make the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, and give sight to the blind. When we come to what we've read here, the Lord Jesus says, all are going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that have heard shall live. And then he goes on to say, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Think of that. All that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Because he's got the power over death. He's the one that is going to call every soul out of the grave. His voice is going to be heard. And there's going to be a response. But the Lord says, I want to tell you, there are two resurrections. Oh, it's not going to all happen at once. There's going to be about 1,000 years between the first and the second. But the Lord says here, some shall come and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And so the Lord now is bringing out the truth of the resurrection. And he says, they're all going to hear, they're all going to come forth, but some are going to take part in the first resurrection, and some are going to take part in the second resurrection. Solemn consideration to think that every one of us here in this hall tonight is going to take part in one of those resurrections. And dear friend, I want to ask you tonight, in love for your soul, what resurrection are you absolutely dead certain about? Have you any doubt as to whether you're going to have part in the first resurrection? Because I want to tell you, dear friend, that if you miss out on the first, you're a dead cert for the second. You can't miss out on the second. The first resurrection is to life. It's to those that have already heard the voice of the Lord Jesus. And when he calls, they're going to come forth into life. Oh, what a glorious moment it's going to be to the glory of God. The dead are going to come forth. And if there are those that are still alive when Jesus comes, we're going to meet them in the air. We're going to be forever with the Lord. And that is an appointment that God is going to keep. You know, if we go through Scripture, we find that there are many appointments that God makes, and he keeps every one of them. Every one. That's why the Apostle Paul, while he's waiting for others to arrive at the city of Athens, he reminds those that are there, they're groping in the darkness. They've got an inscription there to the unknown God. And the preacher comes along, he says, here's an inscription to the unknown God. I want to tell you about this God, because I know this God. And I want to tell you about him. And he says, that God has appointed a day in the which he's
going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the man Christ Jesus. And that's an appointment that God's going to keep. And that's an appointment that every soul is going to keep. And God is not saying, well, you've got the option tonight. You can either take Jesus as your Savior or you can leave it. God is not giving any options, dear friend. I want to tell you that quite plainly. God is not giving any living soul, or ever has done or ever will do, the option. He commands men everywhere to repent. And dear friend, if you don't do what God says, you're going to be condemned to hell. Well, let's face the truth of the Scriptures. We're either going to answer to what God says, or we're going to be condemned, as the Lord Jesus says here. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, of condemnation. And that's why the gospel is preached. It's not just to fill out an hour at the end of the Sunday. Souls are earnest when they call you to the gospel. They want you to know that there is a God. They want you to know that God is a God of love, and that he sent his beloved Son down to this earth so that he might die in our stead, so that we might come to know God. Do you know him? Do you know the Savior? Every person is going to meet God. Every soul that's ever lived on this earth is going to meet God. Whether we're an old person, whether we're a father or mother, whether we're a teenager, whether we're a child. Dear friend, I want to tell you all tonight that you are going to meet God. You're either going to meet him, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, with all your sins washed away, or you're going to meet him in your sins. And you're going to be banished from his presence. And so the Lord Jesus gives us this warning. And then in chapter 10 we read the verse that could be said of none other but the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He said, I've got power to lay down my life, and I've got power to take it again. This is the one with whom we have to do. This is the one who's on the way to Calvary. And he said, I've got power to lay down my life, and I've got power to take it again. Wonderful to see the Scriptures unfolding as we go on to the end of the Gospels and find that the Lord Jesus was crucified. And he laid down his life. He dismissed his spirit. And he took it again. Remember, they came to the grave. They found the stone rolled away. And they looked in and they saw the grave clothes. But the body of Jesus wasn't there. And the messengers were there to tell those that were looking in, he's not here. He's risen. We realize that the Lord Jesus has been into death, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And the precious truth of the resurrection of Christ is what brings us into blessing. Oh, His precious blood was shed at Calvary that our sins may be washed away. He was buried in the grave that we might identify ourselves with his death and be set apart for God. And he rose again that we may be justified and able to stand before God as those that have never sinned. Oh, the wonderful work of Christ. It's a complete work. And it brings us right into a holy, blessed, and lasting relationship with the Holy God. But as we read at the first, that all judgment is given unto the Son. And that's why I read the Scriptures in Revelation. Because we can see it in chapter 5 of Revelation of wonderful rejoicing in heaven. When we read a passage like this, you know, it's always a challenge to our hearts as to whether we're going to be there. In Revelation 5, we've got all the redeemed. And we've got a wonderful scene. There's a book that's being held out. And there's nobody in heaven, earth, or under the earth that's worthy to take the book or even to look upon it, let alone loose the seals. John said, I wept much because there was no one worthy. Oh, but there's a message, weep not. There is one. There's one that is able to break the seals in that book. And that book is full of judgments that are going to be poured out upon the earth. When he looked, what did he see? The message was in verse 5 of chapter 5, Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. So John looked, and he didn't see a lion. What's this that's going on? He's got a message. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book. But when he looks, he sees a lamb that had been slain standing. Well, you know, I remember listening to a gospel preacher many years ago who was visiting somebody on business. And here he is sitting at his desk, and behind him on the wall is a great big framed picture of the dragon depicting Satan being slain, and standing over him was a lion. You know what the preacher said? He said he thumped on that desk and he said, it's a lie! It's a lie! He didn't overcome the dragon as a lion, he overcome as a lamb. Oh, what a message to present. When John looked, he didn't see a lion. He saw a lamb. And when we read Isaiah 53, we find he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. It doesn't say that the lamb was led to his death. It doesn't say he was led to be slain. It said he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Absolutely no mercy. All the judgment of the holy God fell on that blessed one, and no stroke of judgment was left. Everything fell on Jesus, and that's why in the 3 hours of darkness no one could penetrate to see what Jesus was going through. The Holy Lamb of God. The one that takes away the sin of the world. There he was on that middle cross, and from midday till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, pitch darkness, and nobody could see Jesus enduring the wrath of God. And he went there, dear friend, so that you and I might go free. Oh, why don't you believe it? Why don't you put your trust in that man who offered himself without spot to God, and upon whom all the judgment of God fell? There was nothing held back. He was led, dear friend, as a lamb to the slaughter. And there he overcame the dragon. There he overcame death. There he overcame Satan. And there he makes the way through for us to be saved. What a sacrifice. What a Savior. Oh, what love. And it just pours out from God. He doesn't hold it back. And here we are in this beautiful scene. That's why I read so many verses in chapter 5. Because all the redeemed are there. And they sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals. Dear friend, are you going to be there? Are you going to be singing this chorus in heaven? Are you absolutely sure you're going to be there? So that you're able to look forward to the time when you sing to the Lamb that was slain is alive forevermore. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor. All praise be to his wonderful name. Every blood-bought saint is going to be there. It says that thou art worthy to take the book to open the seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, made us a kingdom of priests. Oh, what God has done through the death of Jesus. Dear friend, you know that when we get to heaven, we're never going to lose sight of the one who paid the price to get us there. Wonderful man, a man that has known the depths of death and is now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, a prince and a savior, and he's able to save to the uttermost. And no matter how long you put it off, dear friend, the Lord Jesus is waiting to bless you tonight. He wants you to come right into the blessing and enjoy it now so that you'll get ready for the song. Thou hast redeemed us out of every tribe and nation, every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, made us a kingdom of priests before God. Oh, are you going to be there, dear friend? If you've got any doubt that you may have missed out, dear friend, we want you to come to the Savior tonight. We want you to see that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, that the work that was accomplished at Calvary satisfies a holy God, and He wants you to be satisfied too. And so here's a scene in heaven. Wonderful scene. Even the angels, they're not singing, but they say with a loud voice, heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beasts and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing." What a scene it's going to be there, dear friend. Are you looking forward to it? To a time when every redeemed soul, right back, go back as far as you like, go right through to the last soul that comes in. Somebody pray in the prayer meeting tonight that maybe tonight the last soul will come in. And dear friend, no matter whether there are those thousands of years before that have trusted in God, or those that are covered by the blood, and the last soul is going to come in, and we're going to be there, and we're going to be singing to the one that's in the midst, the Lamb of God. Oh, He has been slain. You know, as you go through the book of Revelation, that the title that is given to Jesus more than any other is the Lamb. You find it all the way through the book. And I believe it shows us that right throughout eternity, we are never going to lose sight of the redemptive work of Christ. That's why we're there. That's why we're kept. And that's why right through the eternal ages, the Lord Jesus is going to get the praise. So here we've got a wonderful singing going on. But the seals are going to be opened. And in the next chapter we get six seals being opened. And the things that are going to be poured out from the one into whose hand all judgment is given. That's why we read back in John, all judgment is given unto the Son. That's why He's the one that is worthy to take the book. And then He breaks the seals and He opens them one at a time. And six seals are broken. Terrible things happening on the earth. The sixth seal, there are people that are going to seek death and they won't find it. They'll try and commit suicide and God won't let them. And they cry out in verse 16, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." They try and hide from the presence of God, and they can't hide from the presence of God. The wrath of God is being poured out now upon those that have rejected His offers of mercy. They've rejected the way of escape. They've rejected the Savior, and they have crucified the Lamb of God. And they're going to say, "Fall on us," but it's not going to happen. Terrible happenings through the six seals. But I wanted to just refer to the seventh seal. Very solemn picture. Six seals have already been broken. Remember the singing. Remember the angels saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." All this is going on in heaven. But when the seventh seal is broken, there's silence for about the space of half an hour. You know, when you stop and consider that all the redeemed are there, the angels are saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." And all this rejoicing is going on, and all of a sudden, there's a hush. Silence. It's hard to imagine. You know, we may have silence for 1 minute or 2 minutes. And it's quiet an eerie experience. But this is going to go on for about half an hour. And it's in heaven. Because those that are in heaven realize that the wrath of God is going to be poured out. And the terrible judgment that it is going to be experienced by those on the earth is awesome. And in expectation of that, there's a hush. The mind of heaven is absolutely in line with God. So we get to the end of chapter 8. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet and the three angels which are yet to sound. And then we find a little later on in chapter 12 that Satan is cast out of heaven. You know, things on the earth are just going to get worse. And if this is terrifying, what about the great white throne? Because all judgment is given unto the Son. Oh, this is just happening in the world before the great and glorious appearing of Christ. Here are these terrifying experiences that people are going to go through because they crucified the Lord of glory. Because they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him. God requires an answer, and he's going to get the answer. So this terrible happening, and then Satan comes out of heaven. He's cast out of heaven. There's war in heaven. Michael and his angels, they have war with Satan and his angels. And Michael prevails, of course he prevails. He's a messenger of God. And Satan is cast out. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Because Satan comes out and he knows he's only got a short space of time. These are some of the judgments that are given to the Son. To think that that lowly Jesus, that precious Holy One of God, who took the little children in his arms and blessed them, who anointed the eyes of the blind man, blind from birth, the one who brought so much relief from suffering, brought in so much love and compassion, rejected, but he's going to come back. He's going to come back with all the saints. And perhaps we could just look at the scripture that says in chapter 20 of Revelation. Chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. For they shall be priests of God and of Christ, shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when the Lord Jesus appears, after those judgments are passed, and he takes up the reins of government, he's going to be publicly vindicated by God. The one that was rejected, the one that said, we don't want this man to reign over us, God is going to have him enthroned, and every knee is going to bow. All through the mercy of God, he's bringing souls in now to bow before this blessed one, to confess his blessed name, and to be saved for eternity. And when the Lord Jesus returns, he's going to return with all those that have been caught up in the first. And he's going to reign in equity. He's going to reign supreme. But there's something awful that's going to happen at the end of the 1,000 years. There's going to be a throne set up. And the one who died at Calvary is going to sit on that great white throne. And the books are going to be opened, and everyone's name is not found written in the book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, out of which none shall come. All judgment is given unto the Son. He's bore our judgment in his own body in the tree. He's taken upon himself all the judgment of a holy God so that we may go free. And dear friend, we plead with you tonight that you might come under the shelter of the blood. That you might believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for you so that your sins might be forgiven. And that the completion of the work when he went into the grave and he came out triumphantly. Now risen to the glory's highest height. Oh, think of Stephen, that martyr, being stoned to death. And he looked and he saw the heavens open and he saw Jesus. Oh, what a moment. A man just about to go to death, with the stones being thrown at him, stoning him to death. And he looked and he saw Jesus. What a forgiving spirit marked him. He knew he was going into the glory. You know the Savior. Is there anybody here tonight that can leave this hall without giving in to the claims of Christ? Can you leave this gospel meeting tonight, dear friend, undecided or rebellious against God? This may be the last gospel preaching that you'll ever hear. And I'd like every soul in this hall to treat this gospel as though it's the last time you're going to hear the way of salvation. How are you going to answer? Are you going to come in to the blessing? Are you going to accept Christ? Are you going to get right with God? What God is offering is full and free salvation, because the work has been done. And now he says, just come, just come. Oh, that you might see that in Jesus all the answers to all the problems are answered. All the questions that men are asking today, the answers are there in Jesus. And God sees in that perfect offering, that perfect man, the way of escape for every soul. So tonight, we're asking you to come and trust in the Savior, so that you might know him and not come into judgment, but believe that he bore the judgment for our sins in his own body on the tree. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we bow before thee tonight. Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Porsche, you know, harden not thine heart, thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Our God in pity lingers still, and wilt thou thus his love requite? Renounce once thy stubborn will, thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight?